This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a very special Oscars edition of Silver Screen Spoilers. I'm Dave Swan, being joined by special guest Kevin J. Kessler.
Yo.
And Sean Ryan.
7.5.
Still on this, huh?
Sean Ryan, a.k.a. Brian Brass, a.k.a. the Grinch that stole Christmas.
Am I just going to be random Christmas-themed villains or characters?
I can't wait to see Mr. Snowmiser. That might be an episode where I actually like you.
And today we are talking about this Sunday's Hollywood Extravaganza, the 86th Annual Academy Awards.
Yes, and in honor of it, we're all wearing tuxes, except for Brass, who came in with a stunning, stunning ball game.
It is very nice. It's a sequin pattern with a little rhinestone at the top.
Joan Rivers is talking about.
Who are you wearing, dear?
Is that your Joan Rivers? Because that was awful.
She don't sound that bad?
That's true. All right.
86th Annual Academy Awards will take place this Sunday, March 2nd, being hosted by Ellen DeGeneres.
Who will not be wearing a ball gown.
No, she will not.
No, she will be rocking a suit. Though she probably will wear a ball gown or a gown or something in one skit. I could picture that.
I can't picture
that. As a joke? No?
She'll be wearing a tux.
And today we are going to talk about the top six categories. We're going to give our predictions and expert analysis. And we are going to kick things off with Best Director. So, Brass, we have David O. Russell for American Hustle. We have
that rhymed.
We have Alexander Payne for Nebraska. We have Steve McQueen for 12 Years a Slave. We have Alfonso Cuarón for Gravity. And Martin Scorsese for The Wolf of Wall Street.
Do you want my winner and my, like, dark horse?
Yeah, well, let's see. Well, how many of these have you seen?
I've seen all of them.
Okay. So, let's go with your prediction for a winner.
I believe because the Academy is very biased towards films that have a meaning, that Steve McQueen actually wins best. Actually, I'm sorry. Gravity. Gravity, Alfonso Cuarón. How can you not? You directed two actors, one of which isn't in the movie for 75% of it, and it's an excellent movie. So Alfonso Cuarón, but dark horse, and not because I'm racist, is 12 Years a Slave, Steve McQueen, who should have to change his name because he's not the real Steve McQueen.
Okay. As per the usual, if you listen to the show, I'm sure you know the dealio. There's going to be some spoilers here. Kevin, your thoughts, your predictions.
I feel like Scorsese has a shot.
Okay.
I do. Just based on things that I've heard people talking about.
I would agree with that normally, but the only reason I don't is because the Academy's not big on giving awards, especially to director, multiple times. And the fact that he finally won it for a film that I don't think he should have won it for, I think he should have won it for Wolf of Wall Street if he was up at this point, yeah. Like, and without winning it. But the fact that he won it already, I see them giving it to somebody else.
Everyone seems to love Gravity. I think Gravity's going to be the big winner this year. I think I'm going to go Martin Scorsese just to differ myself from the pack.
I'm going to go with Gravity also. I think that visually, I think that Gravity is probably the best of the pack here. I think that's a director's movie, whereas some of these others is definitely an actor's movie. American Hustle, I think, is definitely an actor's movie. I think Wolf of Wall Street is arguably an actor's movie.
That's probably based on those two directors.
Yeah. But I think Gravity is definitely a director's movie. Recently they re-released that in IMAX for a very brief time. That was a movie that if you saw it, that's a movie that you needed to see in theaters. If you get an opportunity, go see it in theaters. If you get a chance to see it on the big screen in IMAX and IMAX 3D, go see it there. It's definitely worth the, you know, seeing it in bigger. Would you agree that that's probably the best venue to see it is on the big screen? Of all the movies, probably Gravity's the best one to see.
Yeah, because it's on more, the big. It's more a visual movie than anything else. It's you're seeing stuff that's happening, and that's a thing. It's, you know, the other movies are all actor driven movies. Gravity is without a doubt a visual driven movie.
Well, I think Gravity's the only one out of these, out of this bunch, if I'm not mistaken, that has like those big dramatic, very grandiose effects of like disaster going on.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I mean, I don't know if any of those other movies. All those other movies are local movies. You know, there's, yeah, you nothing. Know,
there was that big earthquake explosion scene in 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah. Oh. Best actress in a supporting role: Sally Hawkins for Blue Jasmine. You have Jennifer Lawrence for American Hustle. You have. I can never ever do this name.
I've been waiting for you to say this name since I looked at this list.
Lupita Nyong'o.
I would say Nyong'o.
Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay. For 12 Years a Slave. Julia Roberts for August Osage County. And June Squibb for Nebraska. Sean?
This is by far and away, I think, the one category where there's a lot of competition. The only film on this entire list that I have not seen is August Osage County. So I cannot tell you about Julia Roberts or Meryl Streep later on. But Sally Hawkins in Blue Jasmine, good. I don't think she was amazing. Jennifer Lawrence in American Hustle. Jennifer Lawrence already won a Best Supporting Actress, or was a leading actress. I think it was supporting.
Supporting.
Yeah, it was supporting. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, no. I think it might have been leading.
Yeah, it was leading. She was leading, the main star of it. So, I do think she has a shot of winning. June Squibb is a dark horse because not a lot of people know who she is, first of all. And second of all, not a lot of people saw Nebraska and see the acting she did. But if you don't know who she is, there's one scene in particular where she's an 80-year-old woman. She lifts up her skirt to tell a dead guy, this is the thing you could have had if you weren't such a so boring, you know, which is hysterical picturing her do it. But with that being said, I think this is Lupita Nyong'o's award to win, unless Jennifer Lawrence comes out of, you know, left field, because she is a darling right now, and her birthday is the same day as mine, and she, you know, is in love with me, apparently.
Okay.
You know, just going on rumors here.
I'm going to go with J-Law on this one, just because she is Hollywood's darling right now. You know, the Hollywood Foreign Press love her. Not that, that matters here, but I think that this is hers to lose. And American Hustle's been so well received by everybody. We saw at the Golden Globes, both her and Amy Adams took them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I'm going to put my money on Jennifer Lawrence also here.
And I'd be happy because she's going to do something funny when she wins. Like last
Wait, fall
well,
down?
Well, last time she fell down, when she won the Golden Globes, she was like so flustered, she yelled at the Hollywood Foreign Press, don't you ever do this again! She's just great.
Yeah, I mean, I think that she definitely... I mean, she's definitely the mainstream pick. I think that as far as like catering to the people watching at home, I think that she's...
Do you think there's a lot of that? Like, we have to have this person win so that people will keep watching? If they cared about that, the movies that get nominated, there'd be more movies that people actually see that get nominated.
Well, I think this year has had the most.
Well, yeah, because everybody saw Gravity and Wolf of Wall Street and all that. Yeah.
Well, there's other ones too. I mean, Captain Phillips.
Yeah.
A lot of people saw.
By the way, nothing for Saving Mr. Banks on this list here today.
Yeah, they said that was a snub for who played the writer in that. It was
I know her name, but now I don't for some
reason.
Yeah,
and they said Hanks could have, but.
They weren't going to nominate him twice.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get nominated.
He wasn't nominated for
no.
Wow, I thought he was. I was confusing this with the Golden Globes. Wow, okay. He could have gotten nominated for playing Walt.
So who did you pick this one?
I went with Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson is who you're
thinking. Yeah, I was thinking Emma, but I couldn't think of the last name.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's Jennifer Lawrence. I don't think it's going to be Julia Roberts. I think that she's the...
God, I hope it's not.
I think that's just more of a respect nomination than anything else.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Like, I don't know if this is the point to jump on that. I hate the respect nominations. I hate that Meryl Streep and Judi Dench have to be nominated year after year. And I saw Philomena. Judi Dench is good in it. But she could have sucked in it, and she was still getting nominated because she's Judi Dench. You know,
that's why they don't win.
Yeah, but it's still, you're taking a spot of somebody who maybe could win, you know? You're telling me there's, like we just said, Emma Thompson, right?
She definitely.
She could have been up there instead of Judi Dench or Meryl Streep, you know? I mean, there's just some actors and actresses, it's like, you don't need to put them on there all the time.
We'll go to Best Actress in a Leading Role, since we're talking about them. We'll just go right into the other one. You have Amy Adams for American Hustle. You have Cate Blanchett for Blue Jasmine, Sandra Bullock for Gravity, Judi Dench for Philomena, and Meryl Streep for August Osage County.
This is some stiff competition in this one, I think.
No, this isn't.
No?
This is clear-cut winner was picked months ago.
Who do you think?
It's, without a doubt, Cate Blanchett.
Yeah?
Yeah. There's
You don't think that Sandra Bullock has a chance for Gravity?
No, not at all. Cate Blanchett, they're saying that her role is going to be used to teach people acting. Like, that's going to be the... I'm sorry about that. I just shut my phone off. That's going to be the... Like, they're going to use that for teaching people how to act because of the level that it's on. She... I mean, first of all, it's a Woody Allen movie, so it's kind of creepy in one sense, but just she plays a neurotic... Like, you know, her life has been ruined, and she's you know, abusing alcohol, and she's popping a little bit of pills and stuff, and just seeing how she's reacting to it, it's amazing.
Well, listen, in your Oscar pool, Cate Blanchett is always a safe bet, no matter what she's nominated for. I don't know. I still think somebody can come out of left field and surprise you in this one.
I don't think it's as much of a lock as Sean is saying. In fact, I'm going to go with Sandra Bullock for Gravity. I think that Gravity is basically a one-woman show. I mean, that...
More than any other film on here, I think it was just driven by, you know, one...
Literally, I mean, she's literally the only person in 75% of that movie. I mean, I think... And the fact that it is Sandra Bullock, I think that she automatically has a chance. I think that the Woody Allen thing might actually, you know, hurt Cate Blanchett right now, because there is...
Does Cate Blanchett have a... does she have an Oscar?
I think she does. If she doesn't, I'd be shocked.
Yeah,
I really don't think she does.
I'd be thinking Golden Globe.
That's another thing, though. Like, I do agree with you with the Woody Allen thing. You know, going between his kids saying that he molested his daughter and everything else that goes on with that guy. They hate him all you want, everything. I mean, he does direct actors amazingly.
Yeah, and I think the votes might have been cast before all that started coming out.
Yeah. You know, I will say, I think it's a lock, but if there is a sleeper, I do think it's Amy Adams, actually.
That's my heart's choice.
Yeah, I do think...
I want to see her
win.
Did
you see American Hustle?
No, but I love Amy Adams.
Yeah, you see, ironically enough, Amy Adams is the one... And I like Amy Adams a lot, but Amy Adams is the one that I don't think belongs on this list. I don't think that...
You think Judi Dench and Meryl Streep belong on it?
Over Amy Adams, yeah.
Yeah?
I don't think that... I wasn't enamored with American Hustle the way that a lot of people were.
Do you think she's in here just because they wanted to nominate all four people from American Hustle?
Yes. Yeah. I think that they wanted to do the sweep.
Well, I think she did the best acting out of everybody in that. I think she was better than Jennifer Lawrence in it, and she was definitely better than both male actors in it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Jennifer Lawrence didn't really have a big role in that movie.
No, she just
played
a bitch.
Yeah. I mean, She did the best with what she was given.
No,
wasn't given a whole lot to work with in that movie.
But, okay, can it be a safe bet that, in your mind, it's between Blanchett and Bullock?
Yeah.
And my mind, I'm saying it's Cate Blanchett is gold medalist, and Sandra Bullock and Amy Adams could be the USA to USSR 1980 and maybe upset.
Really making Olympic comparisons?
Well, I figured, you know.
Winter Olympic comparison. 4 minute drill. Represent.
But like you didn't see Philomena, right?
No, I have not.
Judi Dench plays an Irish woman whose kid was taken from her when she was 15 years old, and her kid was she had the child at 15, and she lived in a convent. The child was taken from her, and now she wants to go find her child 40 years later. Spoiler alert: she finds her kid. He died 15 years ago of AIDS. He was gay, and she's glad that he lived his life the way he lived his life. And it's good, but she's playing an Irish woman. I mean, how much different is that than being an English woman actress? You know, she really didn't go anything above and beyond. She's had other roles where she's acted above and beyond. And
Oscar pandering filmmaking, if I've ever heard it.
Oh, hold on, Oscar pandering filmmaking, if I ever heard it, is 12 Years a Slave.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that should have just been called, please give us the Oscar. This movie's called 12 Years a Slave.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of Best Picture. We're getting a little ahead of ourselves. They're in this year. So, Kev, you're going with Amy Adams? That's your heart's...
No, that's my heart's choice. My brain is telling me Sandra Bullock.
Go with Sandra Bullock also.
Okay. Yeah. I just want Brass to be wrong.
Vegas,
Cate Blanchett has now got my ire, and, you know, I'm going to
You know, if she wins, you're getting a text.
Yeah, of course I am.
Yeah. Best actor in a supporting role. We have Bradley Cooper for American Hustle.
Skipped over one.
Why'd you skip the first one?
What?
He's trying to figure out how to say
Why'd you skip that first one?
I'm going to get to him.
No, no, why don't you do it alphabetically. Why don't you do that first one first?
Barkhead Abdi?
Oh, you did it good.
I'm impressed.
Yeah. Barkhead Abdi for Captain Phillips. Bradley Cooper for American Hustle. Michael Fassbender for 12 Years a Slave. Jonah Hill for Wolf of Wall Street. And Jared Leto for Dallas Buyers Club. This one, in my mind, should be the blowout of the...
Yeah,
for whom?
I think this is...
For Jared Leto.
Jared Leto.
Okay.
This should, but I will say that three out of the other four were extremely amazing in their roles. Bradley Cooper, I think he's getting the nod because he's the male version of Jennifer Lawrence right now. He's the darling for them. But Jonah Hill was awesome in his movie. Michael Fassbender, I think, is the dark horse, because if you didn't see 12 Years a Slave,
please be careful with 12 Years a Slave and Dark Horse.
Yeah.
How great would it be?
But
though,
he's not the dark horse then. He's the light horse then.
Yeah. How great would it be, though, if, let's say, like, Bradley Cooper and Jennifer Lawrence win, so that now every comic book movie that comes out this summer has got a fresh Oscar win?
Well,
or if Fassbender wins, then X-Men is just padded up. But
yeah, without a shadow of doubt, if you did not see Dallas Buyers Club, there's one scene in particular where he's talking to his father, and he knows he's going to die. He knows that he's at the end of his AIDS virus and everything, and his father doesn't speak to him because he's gay and he's a cross-dresser. And, he's asking his father for help to help his friend run this Dallas Buyers Club. And just the scene, he's...
It's microphone.
It's on?
You weren't talking
into
it.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the first scene you see him with, you know, dressed as a man. You know, he's not wearing a dress. He's not all made up. His hair's slicked back. He's wearing a suit. And just speaking to his father, and you can tell his father doesn't want to be in the same room as him. And just the way he's acting with it, I mean, it blows anything else out of the water.
Okay. I mean, Jared Leto and Matthew McConaughey in Dallas Buyers Club, just like the transformations for the two of them are ridiculous. I mean, if you haven't seen that movie, go see that movie. If you haven't seen at least photos of that movie, both of them dropped something like 50, 60 pounds for the role.
Nobody's going Jonah Hill, huh?
Jonah Hill, in my opinion, is the definition of it's an honor just to be nominated.
Right.
And I thought that he should have been nominated. I thought it was bullshit when he wasn't nominated for the Golden Globe.
Well, that's because the Golden Globes are bullshit.
Yeah. But, I mean, he got the nomination. It's his second nomination. That's awesome. But I don't think this is his year.
No.
Do you think eventually, though, he will win one?
No, I think he's going to be a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Okay.
I mean... You know,
something that blows you away, you know.
Right.
Do you ever think 10 years ago, you'd say, do you think Jared Leto's ever going to win an Oscar?
No.
Not saying that he won an Oscar yet, but...
Right.
Or, you know, there's so many actors you could say that about.
I never even would have said that Jonah Hill would be even nominated.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Having that conversation about Jonah Hill post-Superbad, being like, wow, that guy's going to be a two-time Academy Award-nominated actor.
Same thing, Bradley Cooper. I mean, he's in the Hangover. You're watching the Hangover. You're thinking to yourself, he's going to be nominated for multiple Oscars one day. No. You're not thinking about that.
Now, is Barkhead Abdi the one that... Is that the one with the teeth?
Yes, he's the one that everyone's going to feel really bad for when he doesn't win.
Yeah, okay. That's exactly. But you know what, though? He's got a set career because he's always going to be that guy that should have won if the competition wasn't so stiff.
Right.
So he's always going to be thrown in roles. And, I mean, the fact the guy was never... an actor. Mm-hmm. And he's in his first role as never being an actor, he's nominated.
He got nominated, and Tom Hanks didn't.
Tom, did you see Captain Phillips?
No.
You saw Captain Phillips, right?
Yes. All
right. Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks, generic character 17, throughout 95% of that movie.
With a Boston accent?
Yeah. The ending of that movie is the first time that he actually is acting. And from what I heard was the reason it is because he wasn't introduced to anybody that acted with him. They hired real people, a real EMT crew and everything, to pull him and to start working on him. So he had blood on him and fake blood, and he was acting off of that. And that's the first time I think he actually looked good acting in that movie.
Should have got it for saving Mr. Banks.
Otherwise, it was... But see, I think that was generic Tom Hanks acting.
No, he was Walt Disney in that movie.
Yeah?
Yeah, he really was.
You're not just saying that because you're a Disney fanboy?
Might be part of it, but no. Like, if you look at the old videos of, like, you know, Magical World of Disney and stuff like that with Walt, like, doing the Epcot presentation, he's got the mannerisms, he's got the voice, he's got even the posture that Walt had. It's very... You know, Walt Disney and Vince McMahon are two very similar people. So, you know, he kind of plays that big, boisterous, like come here, you, like that kind of thing. So, yeah, I thought that was a for sure Oscar nomination. But what do I know?
Michael Fassbender and his enormous cock. Does he have a shot?
Why? What? He doesn't show it in the movie, so why is that getting brought up?
What is he? Yeah. He's no Liam Neeson.
All right. Why are we bringing up shame now?
Is that a thing? Like, Michael Fassbender's got a huge member?
Everybody started going crazy about it. And that's all of a sudden...
Is that a thing? You listen to Hollywood Babylon, right?
Yeah, but I just listened about Liam Neeson's cock.
No, but that's a new thing. Like, I don't know what it is. Like, listen, as a man, I see the justification of looking at an actress, and the first thing that goes in my mind is, she's hot or she's not. And then I start talking about her acting ability. And, you know, I'm misogynist with that, but that's just me. With guys, I think guys actually have it worse. Who's the guy who plays Don Draper in Mad Men? John Hamm. There were stories about how big his dick is because you could see it through his pants. You know, what is that? You know? I mean, that is the level it is at. Like I won't say, man, Jennifer Lawrence, you know, she really has small boobs. She can't act. You know, I'll say she's hot.
Wait, are people really dictating the ability of an actor based on the size of his cock?
No. They're just mentioning it. You know, like you said, John Hamm. Like you said, Liam Neeson. Fassbender did Shame. And
somebody said Liam Neeson is like the size of one of those large Evian bottles. How did this start happening? Yeah. By the way,
and how is Colin West not in on this discussion?
Seriously.
Hold on.
I'm handing the mic over to our resident gay Colin West.
Yeah, resident gay. Yeah, who joined?
That's politically correct.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about it. I had no idea this was happening with Michael Fassbender.
Did you see Shame?
No, I didn't see Shame.
Millenburg's supposed to be. Why are we actors?
Here's what the resident gay wants to say before he passes the microphone back. How do all the straight guys at this table talking movies know about who has the huge cocks? And I'm just sitting here going, really?
Really? Really? I got to rent a lot of movies.
Seriously. There's no gay Mr. Skin online. I have no idea what to be looking for.
Mr. Skin, great website.
Yeah.
But they do. They talk about guys on there. Like, they tell you what they're in.
Really?
Yeah, I believe so.
Really?
I think so. I don't
Did you know your Oscar podcast was going to this?
No.
He started it.
I know you did. Seriously. You know what? I got to tell you, like, I'm honestly, I feel a lot better that the resident gay was called in to talk about Cox in Hollywood than to talk about the AIDS movie. I feel like that's a little less, that's a little less prejudicial. But yeah, I'm giving you the mic back, Kessler, because I feel like we've said that all that needs to be said here.
While Colin West hops on a plane to Ireland to try to,
I've got movies to rent.
I do think Fassbender is a dark horse of that movie. I think Fassbender is amazing in that.
He's a dark horse cop.
Yeah, apparently.
Right. Best actor in a leading role: Christian Bale for American Hustle, Bruce Stern for Nebraska, Leonardo DiCaprio for Wolf of Wall Street.
This is really your year for these names, huh?
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
That sounds good enough.
Chiwetel Ejiofor for 12 Years a Slave, and Matthew McConaughey for Dallas Buyers Club. Now, is it safe to say Bruce Stern is your respect nomination here?
No, I think Bruce Dern actually has a shot of winning this.
You think he...
Yes. I think this is another one that's very contested. The only one I don't see contesting on here is actually Christian Bale. The other four I see contesting.
I don't think Leo can take it.
Listen, the Academy Awards, one thing is they reward you being there. They reward you being there every year. That's why, you know, I said Scorsese won it for Departed, you know, which wasn't even his. I mean, you made Goodfellas, you made Casino, you made Gangs of New York, and you win it for Departed, which is a good movie. But there's just certain people that you're there plugging along. They finally reward you, and that's why I think Leonardo DiCaprio. And that's not taking anything away because he's amazing. Wolf of Wall Street, you know, he's up on his game.
But with all the attention that McConaughey's getting, I think it's McConaughey's year.
I do think McConaughey's the front runner. I do think Bruce Dern is the number two actually on this list, and I don't see Chiwetel Ejiofor getting it just because I don't know. I just he's good in it, but I think he was replaceable by any other actor. You know, you could have not any other actor, obviously. He could have
careful.
You could have put Dustin Diamond in there.
No. He played a Roman governor. You didn't see Nebraska, did you?
No.
Bruce Dern, that's just. I mean, he's amazing. He's just an old grandfather type of character. Just that stupid, like, you talk to him and he just does the, like, huh? Huh? But I don't know. Like you said, Matthew McConaughey is just on another level. And, listen, Matthew McConaughey was in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or whatever shitbag friggin' rom-com movies for how long? Mm-hmm. And in this past year, True Detectives, Dallas Buyers Club, his cameo in The Wolf of Wall Street, Mud was amazing. I mean, this guy's showing you that he's actually an actor and that he's not just a lover boy. Maybe it's because you know nothing about his dick.
Yes, that's absolutely it.
But if I had to pick Matthew McConaughey,
I'm also saying McConaughey.
You're also saying
McConaughey.
I'm going to go with Leo just to mix it up, but I definitely think it's either Leo or McConaughey. I think it's one of.
Would you be happy if Leo won? Would you finally be happy for him?
Yeah, I mean, I would. I think that if he's going to win it, I think it's going to be for this. I think this is his best.
And you know, it's funny. I'm saying about Matthew McConaughey being that rom-com guy. How much gratification would it be for Leonardo DiCaprio? The star of Titanic, the right. Star of every girl in the 90s fantasy, and here he is. He's one of the top actors in the world. You know, it would be good gratification for him, I think. You know, because he is a talent. He really is.
So now you notice, with the exception of we were talking about Jennifer Lawrence, and Kevin and I both said that we think that there's a chance that she's going to win it. I didn't really necessarily say I thought that she should win it. That was my pick for it. But the American Hustle crew didn't really get a whole lot of love here from us. What do you think?
I think at least one of them are going to win something.
Do you think this was like how do you say this? Like a
gimmick?
Yeah. Do you think this was some kind of a marketing?
No. I think it's 100% that a lot of those people are people that Hollywood is enamored with, and Hollywood is very repetitious. They find people that they like, and they keep force feeding. I mean, Jennifer Lawrence is a good actress; she deserves her nomination, but she could have been terrible in that role, and she still would have been nominated. Bradley Cooper, decent actor, he's nominated because he's a darling right now. Christian Bale and Amy Adams, I think, are the lesser of the two. Even though Amy Adams, I think, has a shot of winning. I think they're the lesser of the two in the sense that they're not darlings right this moment.
I just realized that all four of them are comic book movie people.
Oh, you just noticed that?
I just realized that.
Those Batman, Lois Lane, Rocket Raccoon, and Mystique.
Yeah.
And American Hustle, I mean, David O. Russell is a director that's loved by Hollywood. You know, everything he touches, they love.
I think just chiming in really quick on two notes. One, we're talking about people who've been nominated who we never thought. Who would have thought that Matthew McConaughey... I mean, back when DiCaprio was really starting to come into his own with The Aviator and movies like that, Departed, Blood Diamond, who would have thought that McConaughey could potentially win his best actor Oscar before DiCaprio?
Exactly. Ever. I mean, yeah. If you take Dazed and Confused out of the equation,
because the canon.
He's amazing in Dazed and Confused. Canon. Yeah. If you take him out, there's a run there of maybe like 12 years.
Fool's Gold.
Yeah, where you would not put one of those movies on like a best of list.
Sahara. Ever. But my other point is just talking about Bradley Cooper there. Did anybody else see The Place Beyond the Pines this year?
I started watching it, but I
thought
I never
he
it.
Was far better in that than he was in American Hustle. I thought that movie actually just came out at a bad time and possibly was was snubbed in this Oscar cycle because it came out right around Oscar season, after Oscar season last year.
A lot of people compared it to The Driver, which also starred
him. And I thought Gosling, for his role in that, the two of them were both fantastic.
You saw The Driver?
No, I saw The Driver. I also saw Place Beyond the Pines
with
Gosling and with Bradley Cooper. I thought that was that was my snub for the year.
Yeah, no, I do agree with that. If Christian Bale is nominated, but I do think maybe it's along the lines of the gimmick, like Hester said, where everybody from American Hustle got nominated. Because that's rare for all four actors to be nominated. I mean, it's really like one of the big ones is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. That had all four main actors nominated, you know.
Moving on to Best Picture.
Yeah, moving on to Best Picture. And we have 9 nominations because obviously they couldn't think of a 10th. American Hustle, Captain Phillips, Dallas Buyers Club, Gravity, Her, Nebraska, Philomena, 12 Years a Slave, and The Wolf of Wall Street.
Can I just say if Her wins, I'm going to run headfirst into the wall
Did
and
you
kill
her?
Myself. The concept of Her boggles my mind.
It's a great movie, though.
They just ripped off an episode of The Big Bang Theory.
No, it's not like that.
Oh, really? The plot of a guy falling in love with his Siri is not ripping off the episode of Big Bang Theory where Raj falls in love with Siri.
No, because when you get more in detail with it.
Yeah. Her? You liked Her. Oh, all right.
I gave it an 8 out of 10.
You liked Spider-Man 3, so we're not going to...
Listen, as a sci-fi, like as a geek, everybody should who's a sci-fi fanatic should like it. Because when you start getting to the sci-fi element, it really turns itself on its head.
Her?
You saw Her, right?
No, I have. That was one of the...
All right, listen, this is a spoiler show. I'm spoiling the shit out of this.
All right, go ahead. Right? I've never seen
it. You know, he's in love with this, with Siri and everything, and... As he's loving her, he's finding out that the machine is becoming self-aware. It's starting to teach itself. It's starting to learn new things.
We must destroy it.
And then it's starting to have discussions because it wants to be more human to him. So it's having discussions with other of the machines, the other series, the other helpers and stuff. And from there, it joins all these like groups and stuff in these discussions. So he's talking to it one day. And he's like, he's asking for it, like he's trying to get it, and it's not coming to him. Now think of that, you're on your iPhone, you're asking Siri, and Siri's not answering you. So finally, it answers him. It says, what's the matter? It says, what's the matter? And he says, I'm trying to get a hold of you and everything. And he says, you know, it's hard to get a hold of you, and I love you and everything, and I just hate that you're not listening to me. And she's like, we need to talk. Now that brings it right back to like a human romance thing. Right? And he says, what do we need to talk about? And he goes, you're still in love with me, right? And she goes, yes, I'm still in love with you. And she says, but I'm in love with others. And he goes, how many others? And she says, 673 others. And it just shows you that sci-fi element that she's, as much as a human as she's trying to be, she's still a machine. She finds love with every single person. And she says, I love yous all at the same time. She goes, I talk to yous all at the same time. So it's showing that,
He says yous?
Yeah, yous. she's from New Jersey.
That's from New Jersey. Right.
But it's an excellent movie. The only thing that kind of throws me for a lip is you know,
throws you for a lip?
Yeah, because it's his hair lip. He annoys the shit out of me with that hair lip. And Mr. I Have a Career because my brother OD'd at Johnny Depp's bar.
Oh. Shoot.
Yeah. He was awesome in a Johnny Cash movie, though.
Cool. All right, so of that list, what's your personal pick, and what do you think is going to win? What would you like to see win, and what do you think is going to win?
I would like to see Dallas Buyers Club win.
Okay.
12 Years a Slave is walking away with it, though.
Okay.
You don't think Gravity, huh?
No. I think Gravity's getting the director's award, and that's it. I think Gravity's done after that. But I was saying this to Swan, though. Gravity's a great movie, and this is the first year in a long time where, like, if you could visualize movies in like levels, all right, there's epic level movies. This is the first year you have two epic level movies up for the best picture. You have 12 Years a Slave and Gravity. You could even maybe throw Wolf of Wall Street in there and say there's three. Last year you didn't have three great movies nominated. You had good movies nominated. So this is the year you have three great movies nominated. And Dallas Buyers Club is probably the fourth, but it's the one that nobody knows about.
Is it normally 10 that are nominated?
No, 10 was the last year was the first year. Before that, it was 5. It used to be 5.
No, it's been... It was before that, yeah.
It had only be like 2 or 3 years then.
Yeah.
It's recent, because it was 5 up until a couple of years ago. It
bothers me that it's 9 and not 10.
Yeah, that is a little annoying.
Like, throw RoboCop there. That was 7.5.
That would be next year.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't find a 10th movie. Like, there's so many movies that
Just throw something in there.
Throw the one random foreign movie that is in there every year.
Or Frozen. Like, just throw the animated movie in there.
Well, I have no problem with that.
There's no way that's not winning Best Animated Film.
Oh, no. That's why I didn't even bother putting anime. I was going to put animated on it, but it's Frozen and a whole bunch of crap. That
a whole bunch of DreamWorks
of.
Crap.
Well, you don't think
The
Croods is going to win?
No, that's what it is. It's like it's Frozen, Croods, and
Despicable
then, like, a bunch
Me
of...
Despicable Me 2.
People saw Despicable Me 2, and from what I've heard, that was a great film, but... Disney's going to take Frozen's going to take
it. Is Despicable Me 2 up for it?
Yeah.
I thought it was...
I think so. If there wasn't, I think I would have heard about it. Yeah. There is... Jack Black once famously said at the Oscars, and he was doing something, he goes, this is great. This. Animated films. Every year, I do a DreamWorks film and then make a whole bunch of money by betting on Disney at the Oscars.
All right, so Kevin, what's your personal pick and your what do you think is going to win?
I would like to see Gravity win.
Okay.
I agree with Brasla that 12 Years a Slave is going to win.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to round out. I think that 12 Years a Slave is probably going to win. Personally, I got to go with Wolf on Wall Street. I mean, that's one of my favorite movies of the year. I think there's a chance. I think there's an outside chance that if it's not 12 Years a Slave, I think Dallas Buyers Club... I think there's a chance that could take it, but I think it's going to be 12 Years a Slave.
Let's talk about the real big thing for this Oscars.
Okay,
the host, Ellen DeGeneres, on a scale of Hugh Jackman to Anne Hathaway and James Franco.
Wait, you put Hugh Jackman at the top?
Hugh Jackman was an awesome Oscar host.
Oh my are you kidding me? Like,
how could you not?
All right,
Billy Crystal, Bob Hope is ahead of
you. Not put Billy Crystal.
Okay, I'll say Billy Crystal. I was thinking the last couple. Oh, Billy Crystal did host the last couple years. All right, so on a level from Billy Crystal,
Chris Rock is ahead of Hugh Jackman.
I thought Hugh Jackman was great. From if you're going from a scale of Billy Crystal down to James Franco and Anne Hathaway, where do you think she falls more towards?
I think she's on the upper echelon.
I think she's gonna pull out a hell of a show.
I mean, like, she hosted once before. Listen, my wife watches Ellen, and I happen to be sitting next to her while she's watching it. Me and Swan have had discussions about Ellen and stuff. I don't think she's the funniest. Like, her comedy doesn't, like, suit me, I'll say. You know, I'm more into, like, dick and fart jokes.
Yeah.
But
if Jim Norton hosted the Oscars,
that'd be the greatest host of all time to me, you know? But I don't know if tranny jokes are ready for primetime TV.
We had Seth MacFarlane last year.
That is true, yeah. And I thought Seth did good. Because
he did.
Because he's funny to a guy like me. But at the same time, he has enough respect for the film industry where, you know, he knows the stuff. He knows the inner workings of the film industry. Like, and that's the same thing with Ellen. I think Ellen, she's funny. She'll poke a little humor at people, but she has enough respect. Like, you see her interview people on her show about movies and stuff. She has enough respect of the film industry and understanding it that she makes it. She's good. She draws that stuff out. So I think her being a host is actually a good thing. If Billy Crystal's a 10 and Anne Hathaway and what's his face
James
are a
Franco.
1, she'd be like the high seven, low eight range.
Okay, I would say she's a safe bet.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think so too. She by profession is a host. That's what she does for a living. She's a talk show host, and she's not controversial, really at all.
No,
that's
you're not going to get like a Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes kind of.
No,
thing.
So I mean, I don't. That's not what people are expecting. They're not expecting a controversial host, everything like that. So I mean, I think she's going to do fine, and I think she knows what her role is going to be. I think. The Academy knows what her role should be, and I think people know what to expect from her.
Do you guys think the host really dictates the pace of the show, though? Do you think like, it really
more so
yeah.
than
breaks?
More so you, than people realize?
If you have a host that misses like spots, it's going to mess the whole show up.
Like James Franco, who was asleep for half of it.
Yeah, it was probably high. But I mean, if you have a host that's firing all cylinders, it moves it right along. And I think the better thing is when you have a host that's not afraid to not be downright cruel, but to poke fun at situations.
Like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler at the Golden Globes.
Yeah, exactly.
They were great. They did a great job with that.
Yeah. Well,
you have to. The thing is, you have to be able to work on your feet. I mean, you can have all the writers, you can have everything written out ahead of you, but if something ridiculous happens in the segment before you, you have to be able to react to that.
Yeah.
And that's what people want to see.
That's why comedians are good hosts.
Yeah.
Because they're able to do that.
Right.
That's what, like, a lot of people don't like Chris Rock, but I liked him as a host because A, he wasn't afraid to just, you know, shit on Hollywood in a whole aspect, but he's smart enough to think on his feet, so something happens.
Well, Ricky Gervais was, I think, the best one at the Golden Globes. Where he just crapped all over everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ricky
Crapped himself
Gervais
right out of a job.
Yeah. No, they brought him back
next
year.
It took him a couple years to do it, though. Yeah.
But you need a good host, and Ellen is, like Swan said, she's a safe host. You know, you're not going to get anything crazy. She'll poke fun, but it'll be like good-natured fun. You know?
It'll be softballs.
What was the joke at the Golden Globes this year with Tom Hanks? Was it Tam Honks?
Yeah.
That I don't know why, but I thought it was a stupid joke. I couldn't stop laughing about it.
The best Golden Globe moment of this year was when Jim Carrey got up and he goes, "It has been said that dying is easy, comedy is hard." I believe it was Shia LaBeouf who said that. That was the greatest moment for me. And then there was like the one where Amy Poehler and Tina Fey were hosting. It might have been the Emmys or the Golden Globes or something like that, or it might have even been the Oscars that one. And then they lobbed like a softball at Taylor Swift about like about writing songs about ex boyfriends or something like that. And somebody asked Taylor Swift, and she goes, "Serious as hell, there's a special place in hell for people like that." After like the softest of softballs was lobbed her way, so.
You didn't think the best moment was the George Clooney gravity joke at the Golden Globes?
Yes.
This is really good. It's like Gravity, the story about how George Clooney would rather float into space and die than spend one more minute with a woman his own age.
That was pretty good.
And then what was the other one Amy Poehler said? It's like, "I love 12 Years a Slave. It changed my whole entire perspective on slavery." And Tina Fey's like, "What was your opinion on moving them?"
But yeah, no, and I think also that one of the big things that we haven't touched on as far as Ellen as the host is she's going to bring in viewers.
Yeah.
People are going to tune in just to watch her, which is also a major thing with anything.
Because she's the new Oprah.
Yeah, yeah, she is.
She's the gay white Oprah.
Yes, absolutely. So, all right, so I think we're going to wrap things up here on that. Just a reminder that the Academy Awards air this Sunday night on ABC, March 2nd. Be sure to tweet us. I'll be tweeting live during the Academy Awards, so be sure to follow me on at SS Spoilers on Twitter. If you want to send us an email, let us know your predictions or, you know, let us know what you thought of what we said here today. Send us an email, silverscreenspoilers@gmail.com. And for Kevin Kessler, for Sean Ryan, a.k.a. Brian Brass, a.k.a. The Heat Miser, I'm David Swan, and we will see you at movies.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at WhiteDragonPN.